It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central on another very, very hot summer day here in Central PA. Hopefully your day is going well. Happy Monday to you. You got a case of the Mondays. Was today kind of tough? Had the 4th of July last week. Then you had to go back to work Friday, I guess, for a lot of you. But maybe some of you had the long weekend. Then you got to come back and it's all super hot. Anyway, you want to share anything you did over the weekend or anything else, our phone lines are always open, 946-0435. We're going to make this baseball week. I want to have some really good and fun baseball discussions. 946-0435. I'll try to come up with some different and fun topics throughout the week. But so today is very simple. What is your favorite baseball story? It can be about anything in the world. What's your favorite baseball story? When you sit around and talk with your friends or whatever the case might be, what do you like to talk about with baseball? What's the one story you tell back when you were a kid or teenager or watching a game, going to a game? A championship, anything that that jumps out. What's your favorite baseball story? Very, very simple. Throughout the week, we're going to go back into the vault and play some of our very best baseball interviews over the years, and we've had a whole bunch of good ones, just a whole bunch of fantastic baseball interviews. The plan is here in a little bit, we're going to play a tremendous interview I did with former Pirates manager Clint Hurdle. When Hurdle was coming back to Altoona a few years ago, we talked about a lot of great stuff with Clint Hurdle, including the blackout game in 2013 against the Cincinnati Reds and really some other a lot of other great topics. So we're going to replay that for you here in a little while. This is the beginning of our baseball week. Pirates played today already. They beat the Mets 8-2. I do want to get into some good Pirates discussions this week, including: should the Pirates be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline coming up here in a few weeks? Now, look, I will flat out tell you, the Pirates are not going to seriously contend and make a strong push to get into the wild card. Therefore, I think they will be sellers. They're 43-47 right now. They are in seventh place in the wild card in the National League. You need to understand this. This is very, very important. I know as fans want your team to go for it. Let's go for it. Hey, I like going for it on fourth down in football. I'm adventurous. I like to give it a shot. And maybe the younger version of myself would have said, yeah, make some moves, try to go for it for the Pirates this year, but this is not the year. They're in seventh place in the wild card. They would have to surpass four teams to get in. All right, so you've got Atlanta, St. Louis, San Diego. Those are the wild card leaders. Then you've got Arizona, the Mets, Giants, Pirates, and then boom, just a game behind the Pirates, you've got the Reds and the Nationals. Cubs are right there as well. So you have a ton of teams. You're already behind six other teams. You got to jump four of them to finish in the top three for the wild card, okay? So if you're out there claiming that you want the Pirates to be buyers, how realistic is it that they're going to make any kind of legitimate run at the wild card? And if you have to give up some of your best prospects, because look, if you're the Pirates and you want to go out and buy somebody, a bat or something, what do you think you're going to have to spend? Give us Bubba Chandler. Bubba Chandler's with the curve. Very good prospect. I mean, I'm number 62 prospect in baseball. Well, give us Bubba Chandler, and we'll give you, you know, some 33-year-old hitter who's been pretty good, and he'll be a rental player for you for a couple months. Is that worth it? No. Not when you're not going to make it this year. Next year, could the Pirates make it? A full season of Paul Skeens, who might be the best pitcher in baseball already. Full season, hopefully, of Jared Jones. Then Mitch Keller. Good pitching. O'Neill Cruz a year older. Hopefully Brian Reynolds and Ke'Bryan Hayes playing well. McCutcheon probably gone. 946-0435. What is your best baseball story? What do you got, Bob? What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for taking my call, Corey. I tell this story. I probably told this story 20 times in my life. When I was in my 20s and the neighborhood kids, they were in the Federation team there in this playoffs, and they were playing Haldiesburg, and this was the pivotal game, I think game 3 or 5 or whatever. We were having trouble with these umps, like the whole series, and the game before, our coach got thrown out for trying to beat the head umpire up.
What? Wait. Your coach got thrown out for getting into a fight with the umpire?
Well, ten guys had to hold him back. I mean, he wanted them bad. You know, seemed like we were getting the, you know, the wrong end of the stick on these calls.
Uh-huh.
Well, anyway,
uh-huh.
So we went to the pivotal game, and here this guy, oops, sat beside me. You know, what could go wrong there? And about every second or third inning, he'd say, there'd be like a call he didn't like, he'd say, did he get you across stomach, ump? Like, everybody looked at him, and he said it through the whole game. And finally, on the ninth inning, he said, I'm going to get you across stomach up the next ump. The next time your head's up your ass, you'll be able to see what's going on.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody laughed, you know, and it, like, and it was just, that was the funniest thing, the way he did it, you know.
Yeah,
I always say I can't use it all at the curve because I end up in jail. But I always say get your glass stomach gum because I figure they probably have heard that before.
That's great, man. That's awesome. Why is that your favorite story?
It's funny.
Uh-huh.
And it just brings back good memories of a time. You know, it's very unusual.
And you were about how old? How old were you? Yeah, 15, 16, 17?
Well, I was in my 20s, and
okay.
These guys were all, you know, in their bad age, 14, 15, 16.
Right.
So it was just fun to, you know, it's just, I don't know. And it's not pro baseball, you know what I mean? It's kids from the neighborhood.
I love that part of it, Bob, that aspect of it. A lot of people have, I was here when Mazeroski hit the home run, or I saw Clemente do this, or Stargell, or whatever, 92 against the Braves and Sid Bream. But if you can bring up a story from when you're younger, you know, something impacted you or your friends or your family, I really love hearing those kind of intimate personal details. Thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it, man. 946-0435. This is Baseball Week. What is your favorite baseball story? It can be anything, any type of story. I'll tell you mine after the break.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
So you need a good, reliable vehicle, but let's face it, the economy's not great. Gas and grocery prices are sky high. Bottom line is the price. So what do? You go to J&P Auto Mart. The folks at J&P Auto Mart know how you feel. That's why they want to give you the lowest prices possible, the bottom line price on a good used car or truck. Shop online at jnpautomart.com or come in and see the inventory in person. Ask about financing, too. Good vehicles at the lowest possible prices. J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Altoona.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
All right, it's baseball week. You want to share a baseball story? What's your favorite baseball story that you like to tell? 946-0435. Anything you want to discuss along those lines, 946-0435. I'll tell you my baseball story here in a second. I want to switch gears for 1 second, though, and mention a pop culture thing. This is actually kind of sad. I've come across this several times today on Facebook and Twitter. People my age and a little older, you'll recognize the person I'm about to tell you about. Maybe you didn't know all of the story, but do you remember the 80s movie called Can't Buy Me Love? Just an absolutely awesome, awesome movie. Patrick Dempsey is the nerdy guy. He pays the beautiful cheerleader, Cindy Mancini, $1,000 to pretend to go out with him for a month. It's a tremendous, tremendous teen movie, one of the best teen movies ever. If you're in my age bracket or maybe a little older, surely you've seen Can't Buy Me Love. Numerous times it was on TV, a ton. And again, I've come across this several times today. Today is the birthday of the young woman who played in Can't Buy Me Love. Her name was Amanda Peterson. She played the Cindy Mancini character that ended up taking Ronald Miller's $1,000 and pretending to be the girlfriend for a month, and obviously she fell for him after everything. But the actress was named Amanda Peterson. And so, again, if you remember Can't Buy Me Love, you remember Amanda Peterson, just beautiful. And today is her birthday. But she died in 2015, 9 years ago. She was only, 43 years old. She passed away. She had a very, very, very difficult life with drugs, substance abuse, numerous arrests, and then she died at home, I believe, in her parents' house in Colorado 9 years ago. And it's just very sad and tragic, and I think about it sometimes because I see her picture come up. Because I've seen Can't Buy Me Love 30 times easily. I absolutely love Can't Buy Me Love, one of the best teen movies ever. And every time I see either the movie or her picture, it just makes you think, like, how fleeting success can be and what you know somebody for and what you think about that person. You form your opinion about a person based on a movie or a song or a TV show or whatever, and that's all you really know about that person. And you think, oh, that person's, oh, she's a beautiful girl. She's got everything going for her. And yet you don't know she had apparently some serious mental health issues, like very, very serious mental health issues. And I hate to even mention it, but if you Google what she looked like later on in life, she didn't look anything at all like the young woman in Can't Buy Me Love. I mention that only because enjoy what you have in life. Enjoy what you have at the time. Try to go through life and enjoy the little things, because you never know, you know, what can happen in somebody's life. Even if somebody looks like they've got everything going for them, as this young woman did, Amanda Peterson, you never know what's really going on in their life. So I see her picture all the time. Every time I see it, I think back to Can't Buy Me Love. And that's one of my really all-time favorite teen movies. It's just fantastic. Now, a couple of bits of trivia here. Her boyfriend in that, his name's Bobby. He went to go on to play football at Iowa in the movie. So they're, remember, they're in Tucson, Arizona, and he leaves. He's a year older. He goes off to Iowa to play football. And he's interviewed on TV, and they say, what's one thing you miss about home? And the cheerleader girl, she thinks that he's going to say her. And he says, oh, the one thing I miss is that, like that good old hot tub we had at the gym after practice back home. And so she's all deflated because she thinks, well, anyway, that boyfriend, he has been the announcer on The Price is Right for like 15 years. He's the one that announces Drew Carey. So kind of a neat little story there. 946-0435. Nothing to do with sports, but I was just scrolling through Facebook, and again, I've come across it numerous times today because it is the young woman's birthday. All right, 946-0435. This is Baseball Week. If you want to share your favorite baseball story, no matter what that is, here is mine. I have mentioned it many times over the years, both on the show, in writing, in various formats. But when I was 10 years old, you know, when I hit a baseball as a kid, I was just taught, you know, just run as hard as you can. Don't look at the ball. Just run as hard as you can. And I was really fast when I was a kid, but I had like tremendous bat speed. I had pretty good power. But I was 10 years old, and I hit a ball really hard, and I was running and running and running around first base, going to second. And then I looked up, and I saw my dad coaching third base, and he had this huge smile on his face. It's a huge smile on his face. And it really wasn't until that point that I realized I'd hit the ball over the fence for a home run. So I'm running as hard as I can. I'm not looking at the ball. I look up, and I see my dad with the big smile on his face. I can still picture my dad standing at third base, you know, and having the big smile. Well, then I came up to bat two innings later, and my 10-year-old Corey Geiger crushed another ball. I knew it this time from what I can. It's 40 years ago, so from what I can always remember, I knew this one was gone. So it was my second home run of the game over the fence. This one I knew was gone, so I wasn't just, you know, screaming out of the batter's box, running as hard as I could. I knew exactly what was gone. And I remember my dad smiling again at third base, and just the memories I have of playing baseball and talking baseball and my dad always being there, that story really is my go-to story to encapsulate what baseball meant between me and my dad. Well, when my dad passed away in 2006, I told that story at his funeral, and I still kind of choke up every time I remember it. Now, I've got a son. I wish my dad had lived long enough to see my son play baseball. Unfortunately, he did not do that, and my son and I, we have a lot of great baseball adventures and stories and memories already. He's only 11 years old, but my favorite baseball story, it's the story I go back to all the time, is being 10 years old and rounding second base, seeing the smile on my dad's face after hitting a home run over the fence. I ended up, I think I hit like 10 home runs over the fence by the time I was 12. I had a lot of power. I only hit one more after that when I was 15 because you get on the man field and everything. But I will always remember what my dad, just a huge smile and pride that was on his face whenever he whenever I was rounding second base there.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from the Chicago Street Course. Taking a look 10-1, Ryan Blaney. Then you got Kyle Busch, whose name we didn't even hear all race long. William Byron was mired back in the pack most of this race, finishes 8th. Todd Gilliland, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. wrecked at one point. Michael McDowell, Joey Hand, Ty Gibbs, and Tyler Reddick comes up one spot short of the win after hitting the wall. To victory lane, Alex Bowman grabs his 8th career win. And he's always been a solid road course racer, but it's his first road course win. Ends an 80-race winless drought, and he's the 12th winner of 2024, locking himself into the playoffs. Other stories on the day, strategy chaos, rain tires or slicks throughout the day. Defending race winner Shane Van Gisbergen was a Stage 1 winner. Road course ace Joey Hand took Stage 2. They started this race with the option to run normal racing tires or rain tires. Bubba Wallace got spun by Alex Bowman. Daniel Suarez also involved in this one. Chase Briscoe lost control of the 14 car and took defending race winner and Saturday race winner SVG, slamming hard into the wall, and soon the skies opened up for the red flag. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Denny Hamlin wrecked, coming back from that long red flag. Kyle Larson, the pole sitter, slammed into the tire barrier, ending the 5 cars day. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is the Tricky Triangle at Pocono. There's no fourth turn. Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. This is the final lap.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty
right.
Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at babbel.com. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
If you're a customer of Davidson Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davidson Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davidson Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davidson Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davidson Snacks Outlet.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
That's right, there's nothing like a Boswell pipe. We greatly appreciate JM Boswell Pipes and Cigars for being our presenting sponsor each and every day. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. You want to stop by there, tell them that we sent you, that you heard the ad on Sports Central. They'll hook you up with pipes, cigars, tobacco blends. I got a text here from a friend. I was telling the story about Can't Buy Me Love and the football player going off to Iowa. He says, I thought you were going to say the guy went to Iowa to play football and was asked what he missed the most, and he said, offense. That's a great one. That's a great line. This baseball week, we'll take your phone calls. You want to share some great baseball stories and memories, give me a buzz, 946-0435. I do want to give a shout-out one more time this week to Nebraska Man. He's been under the weather. We haven't heard from Nebraska Man for a little bit. Hopefully you're doing well out there, my man. Or somebody can get a message to Nebraska, man. We love you and wish you a speedy recovery and hope to hear from you soon. All right, so throughout the week, we're going to go back into the vault, play some of our best baseball interviews over the years. I have not played this one very much, really, maybe at all, since we did it a couple years ago. This is Clint Hurdle when he was coming back to Altoona. This is fantastic stuff, I'll tell you what. When I say one of the best baseball interviews we've done, this is definitely one of them, Clint Hurdle. He was coming back to Altoona for a visit. We had a lot of great points of discussion here about the Pirates going to the playoffs, the Pirates not spending money, you know, getting players. Really cool stuff here from Hurdle. All right, we do have Clint Hurdle. And I greatly appreciate him taking the time to be with us here on our Memory Lane edition. Clint, how's everything going with you today, pal?
Corey, I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. How are you?
Clint, really good. What I like to do with this is share some favorite memories and stories from Pittsburgh sports figures. You certainly had a lot of great memories with the three straight playoff appearances. But before we do that, I'd kind of like to ask you to tell the folks in our region, what are you doing now? What are you up to in baseball these days?
Well, I've actually picked up a couple part-time jobs. One job that I'm tasking right now is I'm a special assistant to the general manager of the Colorado Rockies, Billy Schmidt. Billy and I have a relationship built over 20 years, and he has asked me to go into the minor league system and evaluate our personnel and evaluate our staffs and kind of give him a report on what's going on underneath the hood. He was a director of scouting until last year when he was named interim GM, so he hasn't had spent a lot of time in our player development program. Then he was named full-time GM, and he was looking for some people to help bridge the gap and bring some information to him to speed him up on what we have, who we have, how we're doing things, making sure our hitting alignment is in place, making sure that our staffs are cohesive and are communicating well with the players, and our players feel safe, protected, and encouraged to wear a Rockies uniform.
Do you enjoy all that? I mean, it's different from managing day to day. It's maybe more of a bigger picture. Do you enjoy those aspects of the daily baseball grind?
It fits me right where I'm at right now, Corey, and I only do it 10 days a month. I visit an affiliate every month, and then I usually make a little trip either to see the big league club or go scout some college players or scout some high school players for the draft. I was so fortunate to wear a major league uniform for 45 years that once I spent 2 years at home after I was fired in Pittsburgh in 19, it just gave me a whole new outlook on life and what was important for me now. And being home for certain periods of time is very important for me now. Probably too much time at home. Yes, my family, with COVID and everything else, I was home every day for about 2 years, and that's never happened before. Now I'm getting back out a little bit with a job with the Rockies, and I also do some evaluation, some ambassadorship, and some senior advising for Perfect Game, the national showcase program that's out there.
When you get that time away from the game a little bit, I want to hear your favorite memories from your time with the Pirates in your career. What's your favorite memory from the past couple of years being at home?
Well, I would say for me, the in-school tutoring, when schools were shut down and we had to go online. My wife has so many more quality attributes than I have in characteristics. The one thing that she tried once was homeschooling, and she failed at it miserably and said she'll never do it again. So when the whole school thing came down, she goes, "This is perfect. You're home. You got this. You got both our kids. You're the teacher." So I was able to interact with my daughter Madison, who would have been her senior year. I had like four classes with her, and my son, I had three classes with him. So it was a full day for me. We'd get the kids up. I'd start with her about 9 o'clock in the morning and run till about 1 o'clock, and then I would pick up him and go with his classes. And it was from geometry, science, history. We were reading books. Maddie and I were reading books together. Just putting that time in,
knowing that I had to figure it out and knowing that I wanted to do a good job. So Siri became a good friend of mine. Alexa became a good friend of mine. Google became a good friend of mine. It was just a fun time for us to kind of plug into one another and figure some things out and try and help them with their grade.
I love that. Because I had Bruce Tanner on last week, and he was talking about he didn't really get to know his dad until he was 40 years old. Was that part of a good bonding experience with your kids, Clint?
Well, it was. And as I've shared with people over the last 3 years, from the time I met my wife, Carla, we've known each other over 30 years now. We've been married 23. We dated for 8. I've been out of the house 2 weeks out of every month until I got fired. Maddie was 17 at the time. I was out of the house 2 weeks out of every month. Christian, same thing. So, you know, you can tag out. I had to go. I had a job to do. There were so many things that were missed or so many things that you weren't a part of or unaware of. And I think the biggest thing was unaware of, since when I got plugged back in at home, it was amazing to watch what my daughter had grown up and been able to do, a special needs child, now a special needs teenager. My son's progression, what he had learned to do, what my wife did daily, and what she had to do every day that I wasn't around. I mean, she's a superhero, and I probably never recognized the true value and the effort that she had to put in all the time. She didn't have days off. She didn't have two-week road trips. So I learned to appreciate her in a much cleaner, a more respective sense. I had to appreciate my kids for the values and the way my wife had really helped grow them up. I played a role, but it wasn't the major role. It couldn't be the major role, but that getting back home was an opportunity for me to help out more, to be a bigger part of it. I think the most amazing thing that got my attention early, Corey, was when my kids had a problem, either one of them, they went to their mother. And it made perfect sense. Because most of the time she was the one to help either diffuse the situation, explain the situation. You know, good cop, bad cop. She was all of that. And it took probably a year for the kids to realize, okay, he's not leaving. He's not going on a road trip. He's around. Maybe he can be a help here. And then they started asking me, you know, situational questions or if they were having a problem or if something came up. But it took time for them to put their trust into me, knowing that, you know, okay, this is a different scenario with Dad. He can actually be my dad now.
Oh, that is great, great stuff. I really enjoy those parts of these discussions, Clint, more than the baseball. We're going to talk some baseball, but I appreciate you sharing all that stuff. That's fantastic. You were the Pirates manager for 9 years. You have a winning record. You know, we'll remember the 3 straight playoff appearances and the Cueto game, the wild card game and all that. You had a winning record in 9 years as the Pirates manager, Clint, breaking up the 20-year losing streak. If I go back and look at your legacy as a Pirates manager, just how proud are you that you were there to help end the 20-year losing and you actually had some success?
Well, as I've told people when I was on the job and I told people since I've been removed from the job, it was one of the best experiences of my life getting to manage in Pittsburgh for a number of different reasons. Number one, when I came in the door, the discussions and the narrative that I had with Frank Coonley, Neil Huntington, Kyle Stark, Greg Smith, you know, we asked tough questions. I told them I wasn't looking for convenience. I wasn't looking for comfort. I had a really good job in Texas as the hitting coach. I'd managed before. I don't have to manage. I want you to tell me why you want me as your manager, and then I'll tell you why I want to be your manager. And the conversations just took a nice organic flow. There was interest on both sides. The other fact was I, as a player coming into Pittsburgh, I was one of the players that was always attracted to Pittsburgh. I think it was you either liked Pittsburgh or you didn't as a roadie coming in. I was attracted from early on teenagehood with the Steelers, with the Pirates. You know, it was the city of champions. They were on TV once a week, but it would be a Steelers game. It could be a Pirates game. And the talented people, the iconic names that gone through there. So I was always attracted to the Berg. Then to get an opportunity, as I sat down and worked through, you know, talking about the opportunity, you know, I just thought there's no greater opportunity in sport than to rebond this city with its baseball team.
Now,
18 losing seasons. what this city would do, how it would react. If we could get a seventh World Series and get him back into the playoffs and break the streak, I just thought it would be something of significance that so many people could share in. And truth be told, it was. It was all that and more than I ever could have imagined.
You know, the winning started in 2012 before the tough finish, but then 13, you broke the losing streak. Did you get the sense from the people in Pittsburgh, obviously, how passionate all the Pirates fans? Everybody was just waiting for it to happen, waiting for it to happen. Then the wild card game comes around in 2013. What was it like for you to go through all of that and see all of those passionate Pirates fans finally rewarded after 20 years?
Well, it's a lifetime memory. It puts a smile on my face. That being said, I knew there would be heavy lifting coming in. The team had lost 212 games the 2 years before. And there were people there working hard. There were people there putting out effort. It wasn't translating to wins in the other column. You know, there may have been a sense where we were trying to move salary and put ourselves in position to draft better. You know, I think the term's tanking is what they use. I'm not saying we did it, but to lose 212 games in two seasons, that's hard on everybody. However, what they went through there put them in position, I think, to start the move that we were able to help with in 2011. Actually, if you look at the 9 years, I believe, that we were fortunate enough to be in Pittsburgh, the first half of the season, the team was in the hunt every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ran out of gas the first year. I don't think we had enough depth. I think the second year we had more depth, 12. Unfortunately, the league was better. And the competition was stiffer the second half, and we took our lumps. And some of the conversations that were going on gave you optimism because the players, it wasn't okay that we were losing. It wasn't, you know, well, we're getting a little bit better. Well, we're playing hard. You know, we talked about playing hard. I said, that's like getting grits on your breakfast plate in the South. That just comes with it, man. Playing hard is what we do. It's not something you try and sell. Well, we're going to play hard. Come watch us. No, playing hard is a staple. Mike Tomlin used to say the standard's the standard. Playing hard, that should be a staple for us. Giving our best effort out there every day, regardless of how it ends up, should be a staple for us. It's representative of the fans. It's representative of the fan base. So the first 2 years were hard because we had some success, and then we got punched in the mouth. And I share with the players at the end of the 12th season, I said, this is kind of reminds me when I was back on the playground as a kid. I can remember the first time I got in a fight and somebody hit me in the mouth and I tasted it. So unfortunately, I tasted my own blood. And it scared me. And it was that day that I figured out, what do I do? Do I go home and tell my dad? Or do I figure out how to get bigger, stronger, better, and get back on the playground? Because there's only one of them. So I said, my thought to you guys going into this offseason is, how are we going to get back on the playground, be bigger, stronger, and better than what we were this year? And then 13 happened. And we had some key additions to the club. We brought in some guys with some edge, some grit, some guts, some talent, and we grew up a bunch of our own as well, and it turned out to be a fabulous, fun season, not without challenges, but hold the drama involved, you know, because I thought I had a good feel on 18 consecutive losing seasons. Well, the fact that we hung two more up there and the number got to 20, I knew it was real, because I'd hear it in the street, I'd hear it at the grocery store, I'd hear it at Giant Eagle, I'd hear it wherever I go, you know, it was real, it was a thing. And then the fact is, it wasn't just playing 500 as that season started and went on. Then they wanted more, which any fan base would want more. And I think the beauty of what happened is that we knew we could play. We knew we could compete. We had to figure out a better way to win, and we did. How to put games away, how to have key people show up in key situations. We relied upon each other. You know, the staff was cohesive, but the player pool in the clubhouse was the best it had probably ever been there in a long time. And they loved playing for the Pirates. They loved playing for the name on the front of the jersey. They knew they represented the name on the back of the jersey, their family, where they'd come from. They loved playing on the name on the front of the jersey. And throughout the course of the season, as the fans started coming, I mean, towards the end, it was like an Oakland Raider football game, but it was in Pittsburgh on the North Shore because everybody was wearing the Pirate outfits. The stands were packed. It was electric. So you go all the way to the, you know, game 163, the blackout game, one of the most exciting
sports spectaculars I've ever been a part of. And I've been in the World Series three times. Never Game 7, but three World Series visits, and the game and the energy that night before the game was more than I'd ever experienced. And then just the narrative of the game, Liriano pitching the way he did, Bird getting us on the board early, the crowd showing up, showing off, and Cueto dropped the ball, and then Russell Martin parking it in the stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy stuff. And the Grilly be on the mound at the end to roll the ground ball to finish it off. To see three generations of families, to see the outpouring of support, and just to see the pure joy from so many different levels of people, the hotels, the restaurants, everybody that had been down there, street vendors, and all the people that had worked so hard in that organization for years. There's so many fingertips on success. It was so much fun to be a small part of.
What was your favorite memory with the Pirates, Clint? Would it be the blackout game, or is there any other single specific moment that you truly hold dear all these years later?
Well, it would be the blackout game. We never made it to the World Series. It was one of our goals. We gave it three. We gave everything we had. I gave it everything I had, and we came up short there. On the 9 years I was there, the three straight years of playoff runs were significant. They were special. You know, who would think at the end of the day that we'd get beat by a Cy Young winner in the second wild card game? I can remember my dad telling me, well, you ran into a buzzsaw. Arrieta's a Cy Young. That'll never happen again. Well, yeah, it will.
Mm-hmm.
Or the next year, vice versa, whoever it was, where Arrieta 1 year and it was Bumgarner the next in a wild card game. 14 and 15 back-to-back. Both Cy Young winners shut us down. That's hard when you play that season. The season we won 98 games and had a one-game shot and got knocked out. That was a tough one to swallow. But I believe the most important thing that came from that is the fans, they started to expect more. We set the bar higher. And we made baseball relevant in Pittsburgh again. And they were proud to wear the jerseys. They were proud to come to the games. It was a very special time, and I wish it would have ended better. But you get what you get, you don't throw a fit. That's what I tell my kids all the time, and that's the way I look at it. Just so many good memories, the wild card game, especially though the first one. But then the relationships that were built up for the season, whether it be players, whether it be coaches, whether it be front office people, just fantastic.
Were you a fan of the one-game wild card? You won one, you lost two. At the time, were you a fan? Now there's going to be a series. You know, what were your thoughts on it at the time?
Well, I mean, was I a fan? Yeah, I was a big fan after we won. I wasn't a fan after we lost.
Yeah.
You'd like to think there was a better way to do it, but there wasn't. I mean, you all knew the stakes going in. So I don't beat anybody up about the fact we only got one game to play. It was unfortunate that's the way it was structured, because there's a lot of moving parts to that. And you can leverage it different ways. Now, you know, if it's a best of three, it's a better opportunity. You're tested over 162 game schedule. The best teams do get to the playoffs based on 162 game schedule. When you put it down to one game, one night, the best team that night does win. It doesn't mean it's the best team, but that night they were. And both times we lost, the better team won that night.
Clint, everybody who follows Pirates baseball understands some of the challenges with the smaller market and finances. I mean, look, there are a lot of layers that people do know about. I have one specific question for you, and that is after the 98 wins in 2015, the feeling for me and a lot of other people was that they did not do enough to enhance the team going forward after 2015 with 98 wins. Is that fair? When you look back after the 2015 season, was enough done to bolster the team?
Well, that's a great question. And I think there's going to be people that are going to say, no, it wasn't. I was in all those rooms. I was in all those conversations. And the one thing I've learned over time, you share your thoughts and conversations with the people that can do something about it. At the end of the day, we were 98 wins. We felt that it was a pivotal point in time, and we were so close to busting loose. Decisions were made that were made, and there comes a point in time where, you know, your grade scale and pay scale is where you're at. You're supposed to do the best you can with what you have. I'm not going to go public and whine. I'm not going to go public and cheer.
We were all in those rooms. We locked arms, figured out this is the way we got to go. And that's the way we had to go, and it didn't work out. We weren't able to recover in 2016. We faltered in 17. We had a nice bounce back in 18. And then, you know, 19, the first half was solid. We were fighting, and it fell apart on us in the second half. So it is a challenge in that type of market. You can't throw money at things. You don't have much room for error. And we did it very, very well for the three-year period that we were there. So I look back. It is what it is, and I'll leave those opinions up to other people, whether it was enough or not.
And I started with this, Clint. You left with a winning record. You had a winning record in 9 years with the Pirates. That is really just tremendously impressive. What do you think the future is in Pittsburgh for Derek Shelton or whomever? Can they win consistently in Pittsburgh?
Well, it's been done before, so there's a playbook out there. And you know, a lot of times people like to rewrite the playbook. We probably did it differently than the clubs in the 70s did it. They may have done it differently than the clubs in the 60s did it, in the 90s. It can be done. As I look back on 9 years, you don't have a winning record unless you have good players. There's never been a manager get manager of the year and his team finish third or fourth. You got to have good players. I thought we drafted well. We developed well. We were in a good spot there. We made some shrewd trades, Neil Huntington and his group. When you talk about bringing a guy like Liriano, bringing a guy like Jay Happ, bringing in Marlon Byrd, A.J. Burnett, Russell Martin from free agency, there were so many things that we took, you know, some risk on that worked out. And that all those men came in well as on the field. It can be done. I obviously don't pay as close attention to it as I used to. And it's none of my business, truthfully, what Ben Sherrington wants to do or Travis wants to do or what Bob wants to do and the hard work that Derek's got to do and his staff down there with the players. I'm pulling for them because I'm pulling for the city of Pittsburgh. I'm pulling for the fan base. You know what a beautiful park that can be when it's full and the energy and electricity that can come from it. It's been tough sledding again this year as I, you know, catch some pieces along the way. I'm going to be in Altoona as we, you know, we talked about this Sunday for Faith Night. But there's always going to be a special spot there. And I don't want to wish ill on anybody. There's too many people that are still working there that I love and appreciate that I'd love to see them have success. I'd love to see them have experienced some of the things I was able to experience there. And hopefully there is a day where there's a seventh World Series championship in Pittsburgh for the city and for the fans.
I want to let you out on a very easy one. What does Andrew McCutchen mean to you? And what do you think Andrew McCutchen will mean his legacy to the Pirates leading the team during those 3 year playoff run?
Well, I would hope he'd be one of the iconic figures whose name would be thrown in there when you think of the Pirates. You know, whether they put a statue outside for Andrew, I don't know. But you see Maz, you see Stargell. You think of Clemente, the great one. There's other names that pop up. He was a linchpin at a time where it became real, vibrant, authentic again. He was as good a man off the field as he was on. And there was times when it was more important to the man he was off the field than on the field. And he was so committed to his teammates and to the city, still committed to the city, still lives there, named his first son Steele in honor of the Bridges. I mean, we became very close, but it could only get so close as a manager and a player. We've actually gotten closer since I've left and he's left. There's a lot of topics that we've been able to broach since then together. But one of my favorite all-time guys, I mean, in a funny sense of humor, a great laugh. I can remember at the Dapper Dan Award one night, one of the things he said, I was laughing out loud. I might have salad out of my mouth, but he said, you know, I finally realized that I must be getting better and more important in the city of Pittsburgh because they weren't calling me Larry Fitzgerald anymore when I walked downtown.
That's fantastic. Hey, Clint, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to share these fantastic stories. A lot of Pirates fans here, man, and everybody remembers those three playoff years and the Cueto game, the black guy. It's just sensational stuff. I really appreciate you sharing everything.
It was an honor to be the manager for 9 years. It was an honor to live in that city. And I'd just like to thank anybody that's listening for the way that the city reached out, the community reached out, loved on my wife, loved on my kids. You know, there were some people that supported me. There's some people that didn't support me. In the end, it all worked out very well because we felt like Yinzers while we were there. So thank you.
Terrific. Thanks so much, Clint.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Celebrate July 4th with the hottest deals at Lowe's. Right now, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for $10. And buy two, get one free on select paint and exterior stain via Lowe's gift card rebate. Shop these deals before they're gone, because Lowe's knows summer savings. Valid through 7/10. Annuals offer in-store only. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Actual plant size and selection varies by location. Paint, more terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details while supplies last.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Welcome back. Hopefully you enjoyed that interview with Clint Hurdle. Some sensational stuff in there. And as you heard, I asked him about what the Pirates did after the 2015 tremendously successful season with 98 wins, third straight playoff appearance. I've talked about this for years. When my buddy Rob calls in and we talk about the Pirates, he will mention this. It's like just such a good talking point that after 2015, when you win 98 games and you know the Cubs have a tremendous up-and-coming roster, the Pirates' big off-season move was trading Neil Walker for John Neese, the pitcher from the Mets. And at that point, you knew the Pirates were not to be taken seriously, because you make the playoffs three straight years. You've got a nucleus that's still in place. And you win 98 games, but you know your position in the division is going to be challenged, because everybody knew the Cubs had really good young players. And obviously the Cubs, you know, rode that to a World Series before too long. But the Neil Walker for John Neese move after 2015 was a joke, an absolute joke. I began the show asking, and this is something we'll get into as the week goes on. This is baseball week, by the way. We're going to talk a lot of baseball this week. Should the Pirates be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline? And at this point, they're behind six other teams in the wild card race. So, 500, they're behind six teams in the wild card race. This is not the year. This is not the year to go crazy and trade a bunch of prospects and try and bring in some hired hands. It's not going to be enough this year. Now, we talked about, intern Nathan brought this up last week. If they get into a short series, if by some chance the Pirates get in and you've got Paul Skenes going game one, Mitch Keller going game two, you've got Jared Jones, you've got a shot in that series. In any short series, you've got a shot with Paul Skenes. But the problem is the offense is not very good. And if you try to go all in and you start trading prospects to go for it this year, how much are you going to hurt yourself for the next few years? Because you've got Paul Skenes for a nice four-year window of opportunity here. All right. And congratulations to Skenes. He was named to the National League All-Star team yesterday. My buddy Rob, listen, he wanted me to do my John Russell impression, my famous John Russell impression from years ago when he was so enthusiastic about being the Pirates manager. So here's my John Russell impression. Yeah, as you can tell, I'm really upset. We've lost 16 games in a row. I know we're going to lose 100 games for the year. I'm really mad. You can hear it in my voice. I know that the anger and frustration is really showing in my voice right now. And I'm very, very angry and frustrated, just like the fans are. So I do understand what everyone is saying. But to say that I'm not passionate enough about being the Pirates manager, I just don't know what that's all about. There's my John Russell impression. You could never hear what the guy was saying. Was never a good fit for the city of Pittsburgh. Just too calm. Too calm and laid back. Are you kidding me, John Russell? I want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell's, for sponsoring the show each and every day. Love those folks over at J.M. Boswell. Stop by 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. We've got baseball week all week. Have a lot of great baseball discussions. Some tremendous interviews that we've done over time as well. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation.